I'm going to be talking to you about what I have titled Aggressive Harvesters. Aggressive Harvesters. Somebody say, I'm an aggressive harvester.
I'm an aggressive.
Say that again. I'm an aggressive harvester. I know what we have really majored on. We've really majored on talking about aggressive sowing that you probably have heard a lot about over time. If you've either in this church or in similar ministries, we'll talk a lot about aggressive sowing. But I actually don't want to talk about aggressive sowing. I want to talk about aggressive harvesting. And we are God's aggressive harvesters. I definitely do believe that one of the things that the Lord is doing all over the world is he's opening doors for the gospel. You know, don't allow yourself to be troubled or to be concerned, overly concerned, or distracted by some of the things that are going to happen around the world over the next several years. Don't take your eyes off the ball. Everything that happens is going to create opportunities for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be ministered. Even in our country, in the United States of America, a lot of things that would happen would actually open the door for the gospel to be preached more and would challenge people and challenge the hearts of people to be confronted by the gospel. And same thing all over the world, in different parts of the world, the Lord will give us open doors and opportunities. We're already seeing that in different places. To have people calling and people asking, please come and please come and do a crusade and come and it's not just in one place or two places, in multiple places. It's because the fields are ripe, and in different places, the Lord is doing a work and he's preparing the hearts of people. Now, you might feel like, well, but locally, maybe in my city where I live or what I've experienced, it doesn't look like there's that same hunger. Yeah, that's why this message, part of this message is extremely important, because regardless of what you see, the Lord is preparing the grounds of the earth for a mighty harvest. Amen? And, there's never been a better time to be excited about the harvest. Don't allow yourself to focus on things that are not important. Focus on what the Lord is doing and focus on the opportunities that he's given to us to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people. And in your local, where you live, where you work, you know, you may not necessarily have the opportunity to confront people directly with the gospel and tell them, oh, Jesus died for you, because you may find maybe even just the sound or your attempt to do it the first time, you know, they may rebuff you, they may shut you down. But don't let that discourage you. Keep your eyes on the ball. Look for ways in which you can be an influence for the kingdom of God. Look for ways in which your life can shine for the glory of God. Remember that there are different seeds that can be sown. Sometimes, as believers, we feel like until I've said, in Jesus' name, receive the gospel, we feel like we are not evangelizing. But that is not true. Some people are there where they are ready to hear, in Jesus' name, receive, and they will receive. All over the world, in different places, that is happening. But there are many places where they really would not even hear as much as, in the name of Jesus, receive the word, right? But they may be drawn to you because of the peace of God that you enjoy. They just may be drawn to you because of the freshness that you exude, the joy, the life of God. You may not be the richest person around the block, but they just know there's a peace about you. They know there's a joy about you. And that in itself can be an attraction You know, for people to see that there's something unique and different about you that sets you apart. They know you are not easily flustered like everybody else. And no matter what is going on, you usually have this word of calmness. You usually have this word of faith and comfort, this word of resolution for situations that are going on. You are usually the one who gets up and says, peace. You are usually the one who gets up and says, don't worry about it. The Lord will help us. You know, that in itself is witnessing the gospel. Because the reason, what makes you, what gives you the ability to be able to do that is the Christ in you. What makes you who you are? What makes you this calm person? This person full of joy, regardless of what's going on around you. This person full of peace, regardless of the turmoil around the world, around the nation, around your city, or around your workplace. What fills you with peace is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so that, when you communicate that, and when you exude that, even when you are not given the opportunity to say, in the name of Jesus, receive the gospel. Even when you are not given that opportunity, but you are just showing forth the light. You are just showing forth his praise. You are just showing forth his character. The day may come when the door opens for that opportunity. When somebody may be so much influenced by the goodness and the godliness about you that they may not mind going to lunch with you. They may not mind a dinner invitation from you. They may not even mind coming to visit you at home. Who knows? They may not even mind coming to worship with you in church. Just because they see this radiance, this light, and this life of God that you constantly exude. Amen? You know, sometimes I think we think it all starts by how much we can talk. You know, like somebody said, the way you are living is screaming so loud, I can't hear what you are saying. The way you are living is screaming so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. So you can say all the scriptures, you can know all the gospel, you can know from Genesis to Matthew to Revelation, you can know all the scriptures everywhere, and you can blurt it out periodically and tell everybody and write it many times. But if your lifestyle isn't challenging people to godliness or influencing people to godliness, then you are not really helping God create the opportunity that he needs to create a harvest or to reap a harvest in the places where you are. So this is extremely important. I also want to remind you about the varied nature of harvests that exist for children of God. Sometimes we think, when we talk about harvest, that's why in our confession it says harvests, S, plural, harvests, amen. Because sometimes in some of our, you know, our thinking, we think, oh, harvest is souls, souls. Yeah, certainly, souls harvest, miracles harvest. Yeah, but there's more to harvest. There are harvests of good works. You remember in Galatians 6, I think it says, God is not mocked whatsoever in a man sows, that will he reap, right? And then further down, I'm not sure what verse that 6 or 5 or whatever, but further down, I think maybe verse 10 or something, it says, be not weary in well-doing. You remember that scripture? Yeah. Be not weary in well-doing. It says, because in due season, you will reap if you faint not. See, all of these are harvest scriptures, but these are not necessarily harvest scriptures that are talking about you winning souls to Christ. They are not necessarily harvest scriptures. Because when you talked about, thank you for that script, thank you for putting it up for us. Look at it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Do you have the amplified of that? For every person, that's verse 9. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. These are harvest scriptures. It's very difficult if you are not seeing immediate harvest. It is very difficult to keep on sowing seeds. It's very easy to be discouraged. And that is what the word of God is speaking to there. Don't be discouraged about your calling to be a sower of seeds. Keep on sowing and keep on sowing. And certainly, some of the things that I'm going to be discussing with you, and I'll keep it short, you know, I'll do a little bit each Sunday that I get the opportunity to minister to you. But it's really big. Like I said to you, the Lord said these words to me very clearly, July 17, 2004. And it was a clear-cut revelation to me. It has determined just about every step that we have taken, we've been involved in for our general overall ministry, both locally and globally. And recently, the Lord reminded me about it. Think about that, July 17, 2004. That's over 15 years ago. But the revelation has grown bigger and bigger and bigger. And you see that the root of it is exactly in what I'm talking to you about today and what I'm going to be talking to you about as we go along. So becoming aggressive harvesters. Amen. Amen. All right, so in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20, and I actually would need the Amplified version. Just look on the screen. And this, because this, the Amplified is what really, that's what brings out the instruction right there. It says in verse 20 in the Amplified Bible, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 20, happy and fortunate are you, or the King James says, blessed are you, who cast your seed upon all waters. Somebody say all waters. It says, when the river overflows its banks, for the seed will sink into the mud. Somebody say mud. And when the waters subside, somebody say subside, the plant will spring up. Somebody say spring up. You will find it after many days. Somebody say many days. And you will reap an abundant harvest. Somebody say abundant harvest. You who safely sent for the ox and the donkey to range freely. This is a very powerful piece of scripture. It's extremely prophetic, but it's also extremely instructional for us as people of God. This scripture was written for the advent of the gospel. It was written for the days of the preaching of the gospel of the Messiah. There's a blessedness that accompanies the preaching of the gospel. That's why the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Amen. Amen. But there's so many other things in that scripture right there. I want to just read it one more time before I read out to you what the Lord said to me prophetically and give you a little bit of context. And then I'm going to start touching on a couple of things here before I even come back, maybe in another week or two, because I think I'm probably going to need at least 2 weeks to give you the surrounding things I need, to give you context and to give you what I believe we need to be focused on. And then I'm going to come back and then really start honing in on what this scripture is actually telling us to do. But let me read it one more time from the Amplified. It says, happy and fortunate are you who cast your seed upon all waters when the river overflows its banks. For the seed will sink into the mud, and when the waters subside, the plant will spring up. You will find it after many days, and you will reap an abundant harvest. You who safely sent forth the ox and the donkey to range freely. So on July 17, 2004, you hear me, don't get tired of hearing me say this, because this is my text, it's the core of everything that I'm ministering to you in this season. So I need you to hear it over and over again. Just like that ALICC Club 100 video, you know, don't get tired of seeing it, because I'm going to have you see it over and over again. Amen. There's something powerful about repetition. So I was praying primarily at the time over just our entire ministry, the city of Cleveland, especially where we operated from. But I also understood at the time that this word from the Lord didn't just cover one geographical location or one single endeavor, but everything else that he would instruct us to undertake in the many years to come. So this was July 17, 2004. And these were the direct instructions from the Lord. He said, keep sowing seeds everywhere, even though conditions seem unfavorable. Don't wait or become frustrated. Your harvest will come. Notice it's a harvest, plural. Your harvests will come eventually when conditions become more favorable. Say, because your seed would have taken root in the ground. In every endeavor that the Lord commands and instructs you to undertake. That was a direct and clear prophetic word from the Lord. But it's also relevant to you. Amen. It's not just relevant to the person that received it primarily. It's relevant to you because the word of God is transgenerational. The word of God is applicable. That's why you and I can take a promise that the Lord made to Abraham. We can make it our own because we're in covenant with Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. And this word is based on principles from the heart of God. I did write down somewhere, I said, this word became my divine compass and helped to direct my steps and have helped to direct my steps over the last 15 years. It will continue to guide me into the future and guide the steps that we'll take as we expand and enlarge the kingdom of God. Amen. This was a powerful word. I'm so thankful that I heard it from the Lord, because that then became the divine compass I needed to move into the future. He said it very clearly. Keep sowing the seeds everywhere. He said it very clearly. The conditions will seem unfavorable. He said it very clearly. Don't wait or become frustrated. He said it very clearly. Your harvests, plural, S, will come. Your harvest will come eventually when conditions become more favorable. So he also said it very clearly that eventually conditions will become more favorable. Hallelujah. He also said it very clearly. He said, because your seed would have taken root in the ground. This is one of the most powerful things you can learn about the way you sow your seed. In that your little office, and just go back there to the analogy that I was giving earlier on. In your office, you may have a very rotten, a very, very mean-spirited co-worker or boss or superior, or wherever you operate from. If you're a student, you may just have this environment, this roommate or a fellow student or whatever that really challenges you to not want to sow the seeds of good works. And they may not even be people that you are directly interacting with. They may even just be people that you see, people who are really so godless, and yet it looks like they seem to be getting ahead in life, and that can challenge your commitment to sowing good seeds, obeying the word of God. Even within the church, you know, you can have another sister, another brother that you think they're not serving as you are. They're not doing as much as you're doing. They're not as committed as you are. And yet, you know, their life seems so much easier. You know, they seem to be doing so much better. They have many more luxuries and pleasures. And that can be a challenge to you. It's like, why do I have to do all of that? So look at my brother, look at my sister. They don't even do that much. And look at how they are blessed. Their children are blessed and all of that. So that condition can become unfavorable for you. But you've got to remember what we read in Galatians chapter 6, was that verse 10, verse 9? What did he say there? Say, don't be weary in well-doing, right? Do not be weary. Don't lose heart when you are doing right, when you are following and obeying the instructions that the Lord gives you. He says, because in due season, due season is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Due season is bound to come. For everything you do, every seed you sow, every instruction you obey, every cooperation, every collaboration in the kingdom of God, every good work, every way in which you are a blessing, there is a due season. There is a due season. And some of us are privileged to minister a message like this because we have gone from when the Lord actually spoke it to us prophetically to where we have experienced some of that due season. He said, the grounds will eventually become more favorable and you will reap harvest, plural. There's no way I could have imagined the understanding of that scripture 15 years ago when the Lord spoke it. There was no point of reference to a lot of things that would transpire 10 years, 15 years afterwards. Amen. But notice what he said in that scripture in Isaiah chapter 32. He said, your seed will go into the ground. It will go into the mud. He said, mud is dirty. Mud is, do you talk about unfavorable circumstances? That's mud. Amen. Mud is messy. It's dirty. He said, your seed, though, will go into the ground and take root. So God is very interested in your seed taking root. God doesn't want you to have a fly-by-night approach to your life. Amen. Whatever you are doing. So, for instance, those of you in the corporate world, those of you in the marketplace, don't have a fly-by-night impatient approach to your career. Don't look for very quick. The time will come when you will be fine and you'll be good to change jobs every year, or every 2 years, or every 3 years. But there is a season when God will want you to allow your seed go into the ground and take root. And when that process is happening, you don't see harvest. You do not see harvest. You have to understand, due season is when harvest shows up. Due season follows a time and season of sowing. When you read in the scriptures, when everywhere you read in the word of God, there is always a time of sowing before there is a time of reaping. Always. It's always. Whatever you want in life, even things as simple, as little as relationships. If you want a relationship to become healthy, you have to be willing to separate seed time from harvest. And you have to aggressively sow seeds in that seed time and close your eyes to the mud. You have to be willing to shut your eyes to the mud. You have to be willing to take your focus off of that mess that's constantly staring you in the face and suggesting to you all your efforts are just for nothing. Nothing's ever going to come out of it. You are never going to see the good that you want. How do you know? How do you know you are never? Who has ever been into never outside of God? The only one who's ever been into never is God. And God has told us that there is that never, he guarantees that there is harvest. In fact, in that scripture, it doesn't just say simple harvest. What did he call it? How did he describe it? Abundant harvests. Abundant harvest. So whatever you are doing, if you are raising children, this is one thing. No matter what you're doing, you have to constantly separate seed time and harvest. In the seasons of life where you are, don't allow yourself to be carried away by the unfavorable circumstances that constantly present this mud before you. All you can see is the mud. You're not seeing the field full of crops that you should be harvesting. You are not seeing even the blade. You are not seeing the air. You are not seeing the full air. You are not seeing any of that stuff. All you can see is the mud. Why? Because your seed went into the ground. Any farmer will tell you. Now, this is especially how, if you look in the Eastern times, now someone said the rice is supposed to be, is so popular around the world that 80% of the world eat rice, consume rice. How many people know what rice is? I think they make cereal out of it. They make
There are even cookies they make out of it now, right? I mean, it's all over now. Some people eat it just as like just that's their meal. I mean, there no supplements, no meat, no chicken. That's it. What are we eating? Just rice. That's it. That's just their meal. I mean, rice is so popular now. Rice. This is one of the ways in which rice is actually grown. If you go read it, go Google this and check this out. The way rice is grown is rice. The seed of rice is actually sown when waters cover the land. When rice is sown, you can actually see the seeds on the water, on the overflow. They flood the land. And then over time, the seed goes into the mud. And over time, it produces shoots. And over time, the harvest is reaped. And so, you have to constantly remind yourself of what is important and focus on what is important. If, for instance, there are certain things you are doing and you think, I should be seeing the results now. Yes, sure, there are certain things where over a period of time, you really certainly should see those results. But also, be very careful to not put yourself in a situation where you are constantly judging and you are misjudging what is going on with what you are involved in. There's always seed time and there is always harvest. And I want you to remember this. If you don't get anything out of what I minister today, I need to close very soon. If you don't get anything out of what I minister this morning, I want you to lock this in your spirit. Due season always comes. Due season always comes. As sure, because remember, this was a covenant the Lord made. He made this covenant, I believe it's Genesis chapter 8. Was it verse 22? What's that verse? Is it verse 22? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. Due season will always come. So due season is coming. For all the seeds you sown and for all the seeds you will sow, due season is going to come. Focus on due season. Focus on the promise of that harvest. Amen. What am I talking about? Aggressive harvesters. Aggressive harvesters. Don't allow yourself to become confused, misdirected, misled by the mud. Due season is coming. I said, due season is coming. And the Lord said you will reap an abundant harvest. Now, when I come back next week, I want to talk about this. I call them like foundational. Before I actually come back to this scripture and start pulling this scripture apart, I want to pull this scripture apart, different parts of it, and put the light of the word of God on different aspects of it so that we can gain some very good understanding about how we can be aggressive harvesters. Whatever it is, where the Lord is giving us to harvest, whether it's souls and miracles, whether it's finances, wealth, whether it is rewards for labors, good deeds that we have done over the years, whatever. And you know, I told you during the watch night service, there are three things scripturally, when you study the scripture back and forth, three major areas. Every time the Bible talks about harvest, three major harvests. First one is the harvest of miracles, souls and miracles. Second one is the harvest of wealth and material blessings. The third one is the harvest of rewards. So no matter what the harvest is, whether it's spiritually, we're doing the work of God, and we should all be involved in those three different levels of harvest. Amen. And that's why, you know, where we are, like I said, don't wait until you can say, receive Jesus to someone. Just let your light shine. Constantly be aware of that. Move past the mud. Move past all that negativity. Let your light shine. Amen? And then constantly, in reaping the harvest of wealth and material blessings, stay aggressive. Don't give up on the seed you have sown. Don't say, well, you know, they talk about this. You know, God blesses tithers. Yes, he does. God blesses givers. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I'm telling you, he does now. I'm telling you, he does. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 is still true. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Will God cause men to give into your bosom? That word is still true. It's a covenant promise. It's a covenant assurance. It is still true. It is still true. It's never going to change. Hallelujah. It's never going to change. God will cause men to give into your bosom. And he will not just do it just like same measure. He will do it to overflow. Overflow. The psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He said, it will be pressed down. It will be shaken together, but it will still be overflowing. It will still be overflowing. So all of this is still true. So I don't want you to hang on or hang in there like, hopefully. No. That's not what the Lord is saying for us to do. I want you to be aggressive. I want you to be the one on the attack, not the one on the defense. Like if I can just hold on two more days, hopefully. No! Just keep on sowing and keep on expecting and keep on believing and keep on speaking the word of God. Remember when the Bible says, and the sower sows the word, the sower sows the seed. When Jesus was interpreting that parable, he said, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. There is no seed that is exclusive of the word of God. Whether you are sowing seeds for souls to be saved, it's the word of God. You are being a light to shine, it's by the word of God. Amen. You are sowing seeds for finances and wealth and increase, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. Because yes, after you sow your money, then you have to put the word of God on it. Lord, your word says that if I tithe, obey your word, you said that you will open wide upon me the windows of heaven. You will rebuke the devourer for my sake. This is what means to aggressively harvest. Because, you know, if you are not careful, then I gotta stop. If you are not careful, then, you know, the devil, that devourer, is gonna stop your harvest from showing up. It's going to create all sorts of drama to stop what the Lord promised you should be happening. And the truth of the matter is, the harvests that are apportioned to us, the harvests that are designed and assigned for us, are already there. God will not be responsible for us not reaping the harvest. We will be. That's why we've got to be aggressive harvesters. Amen. Let me close right here. So like I said, you know, I'll come back next week and kind of lay a foundation from our confessions there and pull out a few things from there that are important in helping us being aggressive with our harvest. And then we'll go back to this scripture and really tear it apart and learn a few things from it. We need to learn about joy a lot more grace, a lot more vision. Amen. And then in every one of those services where we're gonna speak over our seeds. But as I close here, just look at this scripture. That's 1 o'clock. Let's close right here. Look at this scripture in Genesis chapter 15. Look at this scripture here, Genesis chapter 15. You know, the Lord was telling Abraham, you have harvest. You have harvest. He said he brought him through in verse 5. He brought him abroad, brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. That's vision. Tell the stars if you are able to number them. And he says, so shall thy seed be. He's giving him vision. And Abraham believed in the Lord. He counted it to him for righteousness. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord that brought you out of all of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. That's his harvest. The Lord said, Abraham said, Lord God, whereby will I know that I will inherit it? And God said, you take me a heifer now. So the Lord tells him, I want you to put a sacrifice together. I want you to see, we need to learn to play our part in being aggressive with our harvest. The Lord said to him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abraham obeyed. It's like when the Lord said, sow your seed. Amen? Sow your seed, whether it be a light to shine so that somebody can see your good works and glorify your Father. You can be an attraction to the kingdom of God. People can see your life and be drawn to Christ. Or sow your seed, give of your material blessings, your finances, your tithe, give, sow your seed. Or sow your seed, do some good works. Do something good for someone. Amen. You are not prompted, you are not asked, you just go do something good for someone. Sow your seed. So God said, take me a heifer, 3 years old, and a she-goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abraham took the seed. He got the seed. He took unto him all these. He divided them in the midst, and he laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided it not, because he knew what he was supposed to do with it. Now, he put all his seeds together, just like God instructed him. But God didn't tell him, after you get the seeds together, some things are going to happen in the environment. Some things are going to happen, natural sequence of events. Some things are going to happen. Some things are going to show up that you are not expecting to show up. And they're going to scatter your seed. God didn't tell him that. God just told him, get me this seed. Well, Abraham had to be an aggressive harvester. Because in the next verse, the Bible says, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, what did Abraham do? He drove them away. He got all his seeds together like God told him. And after he put all this stuff together, ready to make his sacrifice, here come these vultures. These vultures smell the smell aroma of some good stuff. Like, whoa, there's something going on down there. And they swoop in for Abraham's seed. And Abraham said, this my seed. Vultures swooping in to get my seed. Because if vultures get my seed, what's going to happen? I don't get a harvest. And the Bible said, what? Vultures swooping in. He went and got everything he needed to get out of here. Whoop. Whoop. Get out of here. Until all the vultures left. And then he fell asleep. The Bible says he fell asleep. Amen. You know what? Many believers sleep without driving the vultures. Then they wake up. The vultures already got their seeds. Then they say, God, where is my harvest? God said, where's your seed? Say, I think I saw this. I don't see it. What happened to my seed? The vultures. Abraham said, get out of here. Get out of here. It's vultures of foul attitude. These vultures of negative words and negative confessions. These vultures of carnality. These vultures of playing the game that everybody's playing around you. Trying to fit in so you can be accepted. These vultures of not obeying fully the instructions that the Lord gives, and so many others that different ones of us experience over time. And of course, if you look down in the end of that scripture, because he drove away the vultures, he fell asleep, God spoke to him. And finally, God fulfilled the word that he promised him. He reaped the harvest. I encourage you today, as I close, to not just take the word of God. You know, sometimes laziness can be a vulture. Spiritual laziness. You and I have already seen it. We saw it in Galatians chapter 6. Sometimes discouragement can be a vulture. Do you know that? You know, a lot of people, there's so many people who have sown seeds who got discouraged. And they'll tell you, they say, well, I don't know what came out of that. Why should I keep doing that? What happened to them? They got discouraged. There's so many people who will tell you all these negative stories. Well, if the word of God is really true, why is this and why is that and how is this and how is that? Thank God he gave me this divine compass. He said, don't focus on the mud. Just focus on sowing your seed on all waters. He said, on all waters. On all waters. And he said, eventually, your seed will take root. So whatever you are doing, just keep focused. Just keep sowing. I know you've heard it before. It might not be before the end of January before you forget everything I'm saying today because you've heard it before. But don't let that happen this year. Remind yourself of it over and over again. Be an aggressive harvester. Say, no, 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 no. No vultures around my seed. I demand that the word of God produce in my life. Amen and amen. Did you receive the word of God today? Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's close out.